Thank you for joining us today on Glad Tidings. And you are listening to Pastor Sunita Phillips today. We hope you are encouraged by this message.
It's December. This is the 12th communion that you all have taken together as a family. Hallelujah. And guess what? The fact that you are still here, it means that the grace and mercies of God have been upon you. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you're still standing. That's right, you're still standing because God is with you. Amen? And God has got exciting things ahead, exciting things in store. And some of you may be wondering, where is Pastor Michael? Let me tell you, Pastor Michael is all the way in Bangladesh. Oh, don't worry, he don't ponteng one. Okay, so he's all the way in Bangladesh, and so he's ministering and he's connecting with different partners. In fact, church, since our missions month in October, from end of October onwards, we were raring to go out. So Glad Tidings sent out 6 teams to 6 nations. A total of 34 church members have gone. Come on, give God the glory. And I believe that there's so many of you seated in Hall 1, Hall 2, and even right there at home, that God has given a country, a nation, a passion to do something good for the Lord for missions. So if that's in your heart, come and talk to any one of the pastors. You can't see me. It's okay. You can talk to any one of the pastors because you know why? In Glad Tidings, every pastor goes out into the field. Amen? Amen. So today, I'm gonna have to ask you to stand up again. Is that okay? Because I believe that we need to honor the reading of the Word of God. And even in Hall 2, please stand up. And if you're at home, you know, you can stand up too. Or else just give it a full focus. If you're driving, don't stand up. Okay. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Read it with meaning, church. It's a familiar passage, but read it with understanding. All right, let's read. 1, 2, go. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that breathes life, the Word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword. Holy Spirit, we invite you to continue to speak to our hearts. Continue to prepare our hearts for all that you have in store for us. And Lord, anoint the speaker, anoint the listener. Be with us for all that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, chapter 25. It comes hot on the heels of chapter 24. Because verse 1 of chapter 25 says, then. Because it just means that it's continuing from chapter 24. So it makes sense for us to actually take a look at what's going on in chapter 24. Because for us to understand reading the Bible, by the way, I'm also the equipped pastor, so I need to do a little bit of teaching. Is that okay? Are we okay? Yeah? So we're going to be a bit teaching here to understand what this passage is all about. I've always struggled trying to understand the fullness, because so many questions come up in this parable. So many things like always like, it doesn't make sense. And so whenever the Lord has prompted this passage, I always hesitant. But this time round, the Lord insisted. And I said, okay, I'll take time to get to know this passage and understand it. And I hope that it will bring clarity to so many of you. And so what happens in why chapter 24 is so important for us to know is because it sets the background to why this parable was told. Many of you already know that chapter 24 of Matthew talks a lot about the last days. You all have heard this, right? Preaching to you, teachings to you about how there will be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nations, right? There'll be famines and pestilence, correct? We've all heard this, and it's all in chapter 24. But why did Jesus start talking about it? He started talking about it because he was answering the disciples' question. In chapter 24, verse 3, it says this. Jesus responds to the disciples' question, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age?" So this is in verse 3, and immediately Jesus goes on to teach them how to see the signs. And after seeing all the signs that I talked about just now, the scripture says, it doesn't mean after you see the wars and the pestilence and the earthquake, immediately Jesus is coming. It doesn't say that. It says, and these are the beginning of your sorrows, the beginning of the trials. So all these things are what? Signs. Say with me, signs. Signs. And so we cannot afford to be so blinded. We cannot afford to be blur. You cannot say, I don't know, because you know what? We're telling you today right now. Okay? So we all know this. These are signs that we must never ignore. My sermon today is titled, A Midnight Cry. And it's taken from verse 6 in chapter 25. In verse 6 it says, "And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." At midnight, a cry came to announce the coming of the bridegroom. Midnight. When I ask you what is midnight, you all will tell me it's 12 a.m., correct? And then when you don't know whether it's midnight, sometimes you want to wish your friend a birthday, happy birthday, right? Then you wait until 12:01 and then you want to wish, right? Correct or not? Don't be innocent with me. I know, like, you all want to be the first one to greet, right? Huh? Then some of y'all, even better, if I miss the first one, I will wait until 11:59 so that I can be the last one to wish you. Because we have exact time at our fingertips, correct? Do you think back then they have the exact time? Don't have lah, okay? Don't have the exact time. In fact, in the Jewish culture, sundown marked the end of a day. And sunrise is like technically the next day. So it's always marked by the sun, and even then the watches of the night is marked by the moon and whatever else that they have. So when the scripture talks about midnight, it's just talking at the deepest, darkest moment of the night. All right? And so it was at a time where there's hardly any rustling of noises. At night, back then, no lights on the road. There's no cars, there's no shops open, nothing is happening. So go home and sleep only lah, okay? All right, so all is silent during that time at midnight. Midnight occurs about 13 or 14 times in the entire scriptures. And many of these times are at impactful moments of Israel's history, and something which we can learn about. So let me just tell you some of these moments. The first time midnight is mentioned is actually at the Passover. Do you all remember the Passover? The first Passover, it was when the children of Israel needed to be delivered from the Egyptians. You all remember? 400 years of slavery, and then the Lord sent Moses, to wage wish a deliverance thing for the children of Israel. And of course, Pharaoh was very, very strong, very, very hard against it. And there were many plagues after plagues, you know, sent to the Egyptians just so that Israel could be delivered. And the last of the plagues is what they call the plague of the firstborn. Remember? Y'all are nodding at me. Y'all know. Well done. The plague of the firstborn was when the Lord was going to take the life of the firstborn of the Egyptians. And what did He tell the children of Israel? Make sure your doorposts are marked with the blood of the Lamb, so that when the angel passes over, you shall be spared. Do you all know that the blood of Jesus spares us? Do you all really know that the blood of Jesus spares us? And that's why Calvary, that's why Jesus is so important. And so at midnight, the angel passed by let me read to you in Exodus chapter 11, it said, Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight, I will go out in the midst of Egypt. And he goes on to tell that the angel will come and it will bypass the Israelites' homes. At midnight, the Israelites received their deliverance. At midnight, 400 years of slavery, 400 years of, you know, going through so much hardship. At midnight, they were free to go. Hallelujah. The first midnight was about deliverance. The second midnight I want to talk to you about is what happened in the book of Ruth. Y'all know the story of Ruth. Everybody loves a good love story, right? And so the book of Ruth, in Ruth chapter 3, verse 8. Now, it happened at midnight that the man was startled. He's talking about Boaz. And turned himself, and there, a woman was lying at his feet, and he said, who are you? Now, the young man in the house, I hope y'all are not praying for, Lord, please, at midnight, let me find a woman. Don't pray like that, okay? This was a special occasion, okay? All right, so at midnight, Boaz woke up at the threshing floor, and Ruth was there. Ruth was a Moabite who gave up her nation, gave up her culture, gave up her other gods, and told Naomi, your people will now be my people. Your God will be my God. She loved her mother-in-law so much. I hope you all are loving your mother-in-laws. Amen. Amen, everybody. Amen. Say louder. Love your mother-in-laws. Love your father-in-laws. Hallelujah. They are a gift from heaven as well. And so at midnight, when Boaz found Ruth there, he immediately knew what to do. He worked hard. He got Ruth to be his wife. And you know what? What transpired was Ruth was delivered from not having any hope to now having a hope. And not just that, she had a future, because you know what? Ruth was the great-grandmother of, who knows? That's right, King David. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David, which means that the Davidic lineage from which Jesus comes from began there. Wow. At midnight, special things happen. In the book of Acts chapter 16, there were two people who were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the gospel until they irritated the leaders of the land. And so they were thrown into prison. Who am I talking about? I am talking about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. At midnight, after they had been beaten and thrown into jail, wondering what's going to happen in their future, at midnight, instead of contemplating and worrying, they were singing. They were praying. And at midnight, the chains were loosed. At midnight, the prison doors were thrown open. At midnight, Paul and Silas found their deliverance. Because of that midnight moment, a jailer and his whole household came to know the Lord. Midnight moments can signify a shift, A shift in how things were to how things will be. A shift from yesterday to tomorrow. From today to tomorrow, at the stroke of midnight, the date changes. At the stroke of midnight, things can change. And in this passage, Matthew 25, this midnight cry is something we all need to take heed of. Why? Because there will be a midnight cry for the whole world. A midnight cry from which everything will change. And we need to know what we should do to be prepared for that most important midnight cry of our lives. And so that's why this passage is here, because Jesus wants you to know it. Now, in a parable, when you're reading a parable, we look for the one basic lesson. That's how you read parables. You do not find a meaning for every blade of grass in the parable. What do I mean by that? You don't find a meaning like, oh my goodness, the watcher is representing this one. Oh, the oil is this one. And the sleep means this. No, no, no. You look onto the overall big picture. And we know from Matthew 24, it is talking about the last days. Immediately after Matthew 24, at the end of Matthew 24, there's one parable followed by this parable and then another parable. There are three parables immediately after his teachings and warnings about the last days. So this is definitely to do with the last days and how to prepare for it. Are you prepared? Oh, silence. After this, you will be prepared. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you know what? Jesus' second coming is not meant to be something scary. Jesus' second coming is going to be the best thing ever. The King of Kings is coming to get you. The King of Kings is coming to redeem you. No more crying there. We are going to meet the King. Amen? That's what it's about. When Jesus comes again, some people tell me, oh, you are very scared. Why? Don't be scared. You're going to see Jesus. That's why we accept Christ. That's why we ask Him to be the Lord of our lives. That's our goal, to meet King Jesus, to look upon His loveliness, His beauty. Here we get a measure when we feel the, you know, sometimes when you worship the Lord and you feel, you know, you feel the touch of God upon your life and you feel so wonderful. And you know what? That's like 1%. That's like 1% of the joy, of the amazement. I'm so excited. I'm so looking forward. And you know what? No one should ever miss out. Amen? That's what we are here for. So in this passage, let's come back to Matthew 25. In this passage of 13 verses, I've just broken it down to four parts so that we can easily go through it and understand it. The first thing is in verse 1. Where am I? That's right. In verse 1, there was a plan. It starts with the plan. What is the plan in verse 1? Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The plan was, we know that there was a wedding. When there's a bridegroom, there has to be a wedding, correct? So there was a wedding. And we know that in this wedding, there were going to be bridesmaids. How many? 10 bridesmaids, very good. 10 bridesmaids, how many bridegrooms? Just one, hallelujah. We only need one bridegroom, right? And then we have the lamps. The lamps are an important feature in this parable. The story of in the ancient days has got a little bit of overlap with some of the Chinese culture. Do you all know that? Ah, you're excited to know. Let me tell you. Of course, when they are about to get married, before they are married, normally, back in the day, it's something of an arrangement between two families. And then they get betrothed. Betrothed just means engagement. But their betrothal is not just a simple engagement, but it is like as though they're married, but they're not living together. It is like a done deal, all right? To break off a betrothal, you have to go through a divorce. So that's a serious thing. So they're already committed to each other. And then there was a wedding date that is set. But in terms of the timing, Because they don't have like, hey, sorry, got roadblock, I'll be 2 hours late. Hey, sorry, dear, you know, it looks like as though the bullock cart got toppled over, so I need to repair. So I'll be late. Please tell everybody. But there's no such thing. So sometimes delays happen. And sometimes also the bridegroom, when he comes to collect his bride from her kampong, right, from her place, her village, he comes not alone, he comes with a group of people. I remember when I was younger, I will be part of the wedding party for some of my friends. And you all know, all the chimuis and the hengtais, correct?
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to the Word.
I always wonder why they must meet so early in the morning, you know? Because the wedding is early morning in church, so then we have to wake up so early, get to the house, you know, all those things, right? In the same way, the bridegroom also got hengtai. He got the hengtais to come, but of course, he don't just have the hengtais, he got the whole, it's like a village affair. His family members, extended family, all come together. So it takes time to gather people, and then, you know, when all the men come together, they also waste time a lot. Sorry, men. But, and so it can come. They can come at any time, and normally, they're so used to it that by the time they come, it's already sundown. It's already a bit dark, and you need to have torches, you need to have light. Because got no street lights. So you've got to bring your own light. And so the procession will come. And normally, the bridesmaids from the bride's party, they will be waiting so that they can welcome the groom and his parties and bring them, walk with them together to the bridal house. So that is what this whole thing is all about. So that's why the bridesmaids were there. So this was the plan. All right? Weddings need planning. Am I right? Some people take 1 year to plan. Some people take 6 months. And the 3 months intensive one, my goodness, I don't know how they do it. But it gets done, you know. And of course, I'm sure everyone who has gotten married, no matter how good your plan is, right? Have you encountered things going wrong? Got right? Like, alamak, this thing happened. And suddenly, you know, what you hoped for, it did not turn out. These things happen. And you know what? This wedding, also there was a problem. And Jesus talked about this problem. So in verse 2, the problem. Let me read to you verses 2 to 5. Now, 5 of them were wise. He's talking about the bridesmaids. 5 wise bridesmaids and 5 foolish bridesmaids. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So here, Jesus has told us the plot already. When you have a plan, please get King Jesus involved in all your plans. Because you know what? He sees ahead. He knows the problem before you know the problem. Amen? Amen. So 5, he already said, okay, 5 of them are foolish, 5 of them are wise, and he gives us the reason. Because the wise ones brought oil along. The foolish ones did not bring oil along. Now, when I first read it, right, in the early days when I was younger, I would always say, like, why Jesus, like, so judgmental, call people names, call people foolish, you know? Then I say, like, but people forget what? Sometimes I also leave the house, go all the way down, apartment living, take the lift, go all the way down, and then, alamak, the phone is upstairs. Ayo. Then I must come all the way upstairs again. Forget, ma, doesn't mean I'm foolish, right? Forget what? But I'm going to illustrate to you why it was not an act of forgetfulness. Why Jesus labeled it as foolishness. Do you want to know? Yeah. So, now, when we talk about lamps, right, All your Bible, if I know you all read the Bible verse here, but if you open your scriptures in your handphone or whatever version, they always use the word lamps. All right? And so I was a bit puzzled for this, and so I went into deeper study and I realized that the word used lamps is also interchangeable with torches. And so as I did more study, I realized that, okay, do y'all know what this, okay, on this side here is called what? Torch. Okay, very good, clever. On your left is the torch and on your right is the lamp. Okay, so the torch, you hold like this. Then the lamp, you hold like this lah. Okay, and so as I was doing some reading, I realized that you will use the lamp in your house. For small ma, it's a small light. You can use it to go along. Or maybe if you go outside your house, you want to just check on your dog or something like that. You know, it's like small things. But if you're going to be traveling and walking distances, you carry a torch because you need a bigger fire, a bigger light to shine wherever you're walking. And it is more practical for longer journeys. All right? So, more likely than not, it is a torch that was used, not this kind of lamp. All right? Now, it is more suitable for an outdoor journey. And here we have this at verse 6. At midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And so I also was saying, I said, Lord, it makes sense to trim a lamp because maybe they got a wick. Then you can just cut the wick in case, you know. So I said, how to trim a torch? Are you wondering also how to trim a torch? Anyone here, y'all use torch before? This kind of torch, anyone here? Y'all don't use one, ah? I also don't use, lah. Nowadays, we don't use. So, I did some reading to try and figure it out. Where's my torch, man? Oh, there you go, okay. I have an assistant to help me understand what the torch is all about. Let's have the torch first. All right, because we don't know what a torch really is like. That's right. So this is what a torch looks like. Some bit fire lah. But because we are indoors, I'm not going to light this up. Is that okay? Can you all use your imagination to believe that there's going to be fire in this? Yeah, so you hold it like this, and then you walk, and then it will shine the light for you. All right? So now, we need to understand the preparation of a torch. Now, I used the word trim just now, right? Because in the scriptures, it talks about trim. The biblical, the Greek word for trim has another meaning called prepare. Prepare the lamps. And so, and I began to look into the research of the words, and this word in many other instances of the Bible is used for prepare the room, prepare the place. So, it is definitely interchangeable in other situations. So how do you prepare the torch? First, you must understand how it comes to being. So because we all don't know torch, you hold one side, I hold one side. Okay. So this, it starts with a rag. It starts with a piece of cloth. So what they do first, before they start their journey, is they soak everything, they soak it in a basin of oil. Normally they use olive oil. So they soak it all in a basin of oil. Then, of course, it doesn't drip, drip, drip. So what you must do, can you wring it? Can you squeeze it? So basically, you squeeze it out. You squeeze it out so that you don't have excess oil. It's not going to be running all down your hand, everything, until the fire also come down your hand. Then how? So far, you watch Indiana Jones, it doesn't happen, right? So must do properly. In case, next time you want to use torch, you learn, okay? All right, so after this is nicely soaked, then it is wrapped around the torch head. So he will wrap it, and basically it will wrap up and become like this. All right, so there's oil already soaked inside. It's not dripping down at all. And then the fire will be lit. Of course, must light with fire, right? You light it with fire, and then it will sustain you. But does it sustain forever and ever? No, just like your handphone. Your handphone, does it go on forever and ever? No, must charge, right? You need to charge it. And then if you're going on for a long, let's say you're going for a long outdoor trip, you're going to be using your phone, you're going to be taking lots of videos, you're going on holiday, you're taking videos, you're taking selfies, you're taking photos. What else do you carry along with you? Wow, so clever you are. Yes, carry power bank. Must have the cable also, right? No cable cannot use the power bank, right? So you carry along what is necessary. Is that so super, so like awesome knowledge? No, right? It's normal, right? Everybody here have a power bank? Who doesn't have a power bank? Only one or two, huh? I think you must buy power bank, lah, huh? Or maybe you got a super phone, then you tell me what brand. Huh? But you know, you always need to have a power bank, especially for longer journeys or longer times away from the power source. Okay, so now, wow, he has done it. I think he secretly uses the torch at home. Save electricity, huh? Yeah, with oil, that's right. So now, once they got to the place and they're waiting for the bridegroom is delayed. So the bridegroom is delayed. So while they are waiting for the bridegroom, so they put down. They don't need to stand there. You know, they're quite normal people. So they would have put it aside, then sit down. Then after that, we heard that they went to sleep, right? So when the cry comes up, and then they wake up, the light is gone. The light is gone already. So they need to trim it. So what it means, they need to prepare it again. How do they prepare it? They undo, they take it all out. They take all of it out, all his hard work. Poor thing, I'm bullying him. So they take out the whole rag, and those who had extra oil, they will then pour the oil all over this rag to refresh the oil there. Not until it's dripping, it's just enough. And then it is wrapped up all over again. The fire can be sustained for them to go out to meet the bridegroom. Back in the day, everyone knew if you're going out at night with your torch, you must have your spare oil. You must have your oil vessel. It is a normal thing to do. It is a natural thing to do. So many times we think that it is something so supernatural. Thank you so much, Brian. Come on, give him a hand. He's been awesome. I hope that helped you understand a little bit more. And so, because some people say that, oh, you need to be more than normal prepared, but this is called normal preparation. The Lord doesn't ask us to be supernatural because He's the supernatural one. Amen. Amen. And so, when they woke up, and they, before I go on, let me talk about the waking up part. Have you heard of sermons where they say that, oh, all of them are so lazy. They're so lazy, sleeping. Not knowing how to do work while waiting for the bridegroom. I need to humbly disagree with that. Because both the wise and the foolish were sleeping. Both the wise and the foolish were sleeping. Why? Because while the bridegroom is delayed, you do what is normal. You do what is natural. It was in the middle of the night. If you don't catch a nap while you can, then once he comes and you have to get up and go, you'll be so super tired. So they do what is normal. So while we are waiting for King Jesus to come again, while we're waiting for the second coming of Christ, do what is normal. What does that mean? Homework must be done. Hallelujah, students. Homework must be done. Assignments have to be completed. Exams have to be taken. Deadlines at your office have to be done. Dinner has to be prepared. Groceries must be done. The normal must be, we must continue doing what is normal and natural as we wait for the King, but we need to wait with preparation in our hearts. When you're doing the normal, don't ignore what you need to have in your hearts. You must have, this oil here is talking about the preparation. Every parable has got a purpose, and this purpose is about the preparation of our hearts to meet the bridegroom. When the midnight cry comes, we need to be ready to say, yes, we are ready. Not like, hold on now, one minute, 2 minutes, I need to do this. No time for that already. Okay, so when they woke up, the bridesmaid all woke up at the same time. all, the wise and the foolish all woke up at the same time. And the wise, they got to work trimming their, preparing their torches, and that's when the foolish just like, oh my goodness, did you bring some? Did you bring some? Uh-oh, we didn't bring it. And so, what did they do? In verse 8, the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. Another question I always ask, a bit selfish, right, the wise? Cannot share. Share lah. We're all there anyway, right? Just share the oil. And so I began to understand a little bit more as I, you know, began to read into their how things work in their wedding setting. They bring enough because it is part of a normal preparation. No one can prepare for you. If you bring your one power bank and it's only got one cable, guess what? Only your phone can be saved. Only your phone can be charged. You know, and in this context, it was not spare oil. It was not like, oh, because they had extra foresight. They were doing what was normal for preparing themselves for the bridegroom. What is normal? What is expected? Sometimes we think that, oh, no, I cannot do so much. Actually, you just need to do what is expected of our hearts. And here's the sad thing in verse 10. When they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Because in this parable, happened at midnight, shops are not going to be open. What it means to say is, by the time the midnight cry comes, it's going to be too late to try and make a change. Whatever needs to be done has to happen before the midnight cry. Which brings me to the third part of this. There is a price that has to be paid for unpreparedness. We don't like to hear this part, but there is a price. We like to hear the reward. The reward of the wise was that they get to go in. They get to be at the wedding banquet with the bridegroom. The price is when Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. They were all dressed up for a wedding, dressed up for a good and happy time. They looked the part. They looked the part as a bridesmaid. They looked part of the bridal party. You know, they had their lamps, they had the correct props, but they did not have the preparation. They were not prepared. You can look the part. And sometimes we can look the part by doing what we think is necessary. We can look the part by just coming to church, but not really having a relationship that's alive, that's burning on fire for the Lord. You know? And sometimes when we've had so many difficult things happening in our lives, so many challenging times in this year, it's the 12th month. And maybe the first 11 months has been incredibly difficult. And then you got discouraged. Got a little bit, you know, dejected in your heart and distracted perhaps. But you know what? There's still time. There's still time to ask the Lord to light us up again. There's still time. See, three of the saddest statements in the Bible is found here. Some of the very sad statements are this. In verse 8b, it says, our lamps have gone out. We've got no more fire. We've got no more passion. We've got no more light or desire. Our lamps have gone out. The next one is in verse 10. And the door was shut. And the door was shut. And the third, when Jesus says, I know you not. I don't know you. Wow. They were called to be bridesmaids. They did everything, but their heart was not in it to be prepared to wait in full readiness for the king. And the Lord said, I know you not. I think for all of us here, we want to hear this. That's what I want to hear. And I pray I can hear that God will say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, enter my rest. I think that's the most powerful and beautiful thing we all want to hear. Come, well done. But Jesus gives us, this is just a warning, and it's not too late right now. In verse 13, the fourth part, the preparation. What is required? What is the preparation that we need to have? No, it doesn't mean all must come to full-time. No, no, that's a calling. But we all have certain things to prepare in our hearts. In verse 13, it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We don't know when He's coming. In verse 6, the watcher cried out, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Do you know when Angel Gabriel spoke to Mary when she was about to conceive Jesus? Angel Gabriel greeted her by saying, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, Jesus. In Isaiah, and Isaiah prophesied about the birth of Jesus, he said, behold, the virgin shall be with child. This Christmas is interesting. I didn't plan this, but only when I was preparing it, I realized that perhaps this behold message is timely, because we need to bring people to behold Christ before they behold, so that when it's the time for the midnight cry, for them to behold the second coming, they're already saved, already in the kingdom of God. How do we prepare ourselves? There are three things. The scripture says to watch. What does watch mean? We watch vigilantly. We need to be vigilant in our walk with the Lord. Do not allow the little things to distract us. Keep your spirit alert, attentive. How do you do that? That's why we have CGs. That's why we have connect groups, so that we can cheer each other on. And that's why we say, come regularly to our services, so that you can connect with the family, connect with the leaders that can cheer you on as well. And come for our prayer encounters. We can be vigilant as we wait and we ask the Lord, what else is in store? And in the vigilance, in this time where there's so much of things going on, when it's so hard to maintain our faith at times, you know, when struggles and challenges are thrown at you, we need to learn to persevere. In Matthew 24, 13, it says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Let us all cheer each other on and say, we want to persevere and endure to the end. Amen. And this means commitment. We don't stop preparing. It doesn't stop the moment you say, Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. It's a continuous growing closer to the Lord. It's a commitment to say, Jesus, be the Lord in every part of my life, in the decisions I make at the marketplaces, in the decisions I make in my home, my family. I want to be committed. And that's how we keep coming back again and again, asking God to refresh us. We still have time, because the midnight cry has not yet come. But we do not know whether the midnight cry will come tomorrow or the day after. And we need to get our hearts prepared as well. And we need to also bring as many as possible into the kingdom. We need to say, Lord, who can I bring? Who can I bring? And in order for us to do that, we need to ask the Lord to fill us. Maybe the year has been so hard that the oil has kind of run dry. And we need to say, Lord, more oil. Give me oil. Just like that song says that we sang earlier, give me oil in my lamp. A song some of us grew up in Sunday school. Give me oil in my lamp to keep me burning. Give me oil so that our torches won't run out. We won't have to say, my lamp has run out. Give me oil. Why? So we can keep burning and sending and showing the light to those who need it. And it says, keep me burning till the break of day. Till we have seen through our midnight moment. The break of day symbolically means till Jesus comes and the dawn breaks and we are with our King. And that's when we can sing the chorus, sing Hosanna. I never saw this song in this light until the Lord was preparing me in this, and I said, wow, what a prophetic song this is. A simple Sunday school song. So much meaning, so much depth. Last week I was talking to two people by chance, two strangers that I happened to meet at the Shell station because I was late for an appointment. But I was so hungry, I needed a quick bite. And this was faster than a fast food joint. I just swung into the Shell station. I got my little nasi lemak packet and my coffee. And there was just one table and there were two other gentlemen there. And I just said, I'm sorry, can I join you? And then I just sat down there thinking I'll mind my own business and just like whack this nasi lemak nicely. And they started talking to me. So I'm like, okay, one of those chatty people. So people who know me know I'm a bit of an introvert, yeah? So they were chatting with me about what they were doing and all these things, and I was just nodding along. Then they asked me, what do you do? What do you do for a living? Then I'm just like, oh dear. When I say this, I know this will spark a very much longer conversation. I looked at my watch. You're late anyway. It's all right. So I told them I work in a church. And that started a very interesting conversation on which these two gentlemen, maybe they're retired, possibly. And they said this, oh, you know, for me, right, I always tell all the young people, when you're young, you don't need to be serious about God. You don't need to worry about God. We only need to worry about God when you're older, when your hair is white, then it's your time, you must think about God. I'm so happy you're laughing because that is rubbish, right? Amen. And so I was just thinking, oh Lord, this is going to be a long one, but never mind. Since you have brought them to me, I need to speak forth. And so I asked the Lord, give me wisdom. How do I connect with these people? And I spoke to them and I said, you know, sometimes we think that just because we are already in our 50s or 60s, we've got that only at that time, you know, we can. I said, but do you know, and this is a true thing, I just attended a funeral of one of my former college students. He was 41 and serving the Lord, not in our church. He's planted in another church, serving the Lord, godly wife, making an impact. He was sick that morning, went to a clinic, then he was sleeping it off. You know how the sleeping off the medicines. The wife checked on him at about 1 p.m. Okay, he's snoring. Okay, no need to get him lunch. The wife checked on him again at 3 p.m. He just had one heart attack and he was gone. 41. And so I shared this story with them and told them, we think we have all the time in the world, but we don't. And then they were shaken. And they said, well, so young. I said, yes. We need to be preparing for where we will spend our eternity. You know, and then I talked some more with them. And I just want to challenge all of us here. that it is right now. We don't have time to wait. Let me next week. La. Today, I got to rush off because I got lunch appointment. Today, you know, I need to do this, so I cannot come. But I want to encourage you to guard this time right now. Let's not be in a hurry to leave. Because I believe that the Lord wants to fill us all afresh. The Lord wants to fill every torch that is here. He wants to refresh you, whether you're in Hall 1 or Hall 2 or even online. He wants to refresh every single one of you. And we want to pray. We've actually got anointing oil here that we want to actually symbolically anoint and pray over your life. Why? Because when you are on fire, when you are alight, guess what? You can share your behold moments to other people. You can share and you can make an impact where you are so that others can have their own midnight moment. Before their midnight moment, they can have a shift.
Thank you for listening to Glad Tidings. We hope that you are encouraged by this message. If you would like weekly updates, be sure to follow us on Spotify. To find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Once again, thank you for tuning in. God bless.